making the choice to come today. You could have elected to be anywhere else today. You could have stayed home. You couldn't have went to the lake because it probably wouldn't have done you too good because it's raining right now. But you could have elected to be anywhere else. But thank you for coming today. You're honoring God when you come on the Sabbath Sunday, because clearly He lets us know for us to keep it holy. It is rest. It is for us to acknowledge Him, that He is God. He is a jealous God. He's a God that truly loves us, but He doesn't like any other gods to be above Him, over Him, around Him. He likes to be number one. And I thank God today that we're serving a number one God that truly loves you and knows everything about you inside and out. And you may say, well, why, Pastor? How, Pastor? Because He created us. He created us to serve Him, to worship Him, to love Him, and He's created us that He may love us and show us, and thank God for His compassion, and thank God for His mercy, His grace, for His mercy endures forever. But today, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to hold them up high. That's sort of the spirit. It's going to be on the screen. It's going to be projected. And we want to get into God's Word today. So we're going to go to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse. Hebrews 10 and 32. And we want to look there a little bit today. I have been doing a series called Unshaken Faith in the Final Days. And this is sermon number 5. And if you've missed any of that, you can always go on our website to www.vfclexington.org. You can watch it video. If you need to hear it by audio, you can go to Spotify or you can go to Apple Podcasts. So we are all on those platforms. And thank God that your local church here is on that we're getting the word out and we're sharing the gospel with those that click in with us. And we want to thank those today for watching us. My prayer is there something that I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. Unshaken Faith in the Final Days, series sermon number 5. And the title of my message today is this, A Little While. A Little While. And so we want to look at this. We have been talking a little bit about the coming of the Lord, and we have been talking about what God is doing as He prepares for His return. He lets us know a little bit in His Word of what is taking place and what will take place. And so I want to look at this a little bit as we go into Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you're enduring a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproach and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated, for you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of goods, and knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet, verse 37, for yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Can I hear an amen to God's Word? Let's look at last Sunday's sermon. We talked about the purifying hope, the hope that is in Christ Jesus, that we have living hope in the Lord Jesus, and we know that He is coming back. I want you to know that we went over because He didn't want us to be ashamed, even because He appreciated His position and because He anticipated a personal meeting with Christ. We see this as we look closely into God's Word. Encouragement for suffering people. We see in verse 32, as we've looked at this passage here a little bit, had been persecuted. Also in verse 33, there's been reproach and affliction that has taken place in this passage. Lost, in verse 34, lost their earthly possessions. And yet in verse 35 and 36, were tempted to give up. But yet the good news came in verse 37, someone is coming, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I could say today that all of the perseverance that you are going through, all the trials, all the tribulation, all the things, health issues, whatever it may be, does it compare of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ that will be coming back one day as He splits the eastern skies to receive us to His own? So remember that while you're down here, you're only here for a season. We're just like, as Peter says, we're like pilgrims. We're just passing through. This is not your home. This is not my home. You may be living here. You may have things, but guess what? Jesus Christ is going to soon return, and He's going to bring us to where He's at. And so let us suffer a little longer. Let us go through some trials a little longer. Let us face certain things for a little longer, because we've got good news. Jesus is coming back. My first point today is this: who is this one who will come? Who is this one who will come? Hebrews 10 and 37, for yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Who is He? Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, that fails not, that is waiting on His heavenly Father to let Him know when He is to return. He that shall come, Jesus will be coming in the clouds. The one who died and rose again, He who knows about persecution, everything that's going on, yet He knows about afflictions. He knows what we're dealing with. The Bible says that He'll put no more on us than we can bear, but make a way of an escape. So we know how much, or He knows how much, you and I can handle. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how much more I can handle. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the pain and the suffering that I'm going through. And you know, you might be right. I may not know all of what is going on in your life, but let me reassure you that Jesus Christ sees exactly what you and I are going through and what we're faced with today. But be reassured knowing that Jesus is in control. This world may be out of control, but Jesus Christ is in control, and He knows exactly what He's doing in our hearts and in our lives. Listen, the importance of this news, of this great news, is one out of 30 Bible verses that teaches it. It mentions 8 times more than the first of the coming. Even in 216 chapters, even 318 of references to it lets us know that the coming of the Lord, that He will be back. Yet we're also reminded of whole chapters that are given to us. The whole books of the Bible is given to us So I want you to know it's not just a tiny little passage of Scripture that lets us know that Jesus is coming back. All through the Bible, as we see from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we know that Jesus Christ is coming back unto us. Yet we are reminded of the promise that Jesus gave us. He lets us know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Jesus, believe in me. Believe also that my Father has many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then when I come back again, I will bring you to myself. So Jesus has let us know that He'll be back. He's coming back. The angels lets us know that He's coming back. He told the disciples, why are you looking up? Why are you gazing in the sky? Jesus, as He has ascended back to the Father, that what you see is exactly how He will come back. He will come back for His own. Don't worry. Understand that Christ has got all of this prepared. And yet the apostles lets us know. So you say, well, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say Jesus has already told us. The angels has already told us. The Apostle Paul has already told us. I don't know how much more that I can tell you about the Word of God, but Jesus Christ will come back. It's not a myth. It's not magical. It will happen. And just as you least expect it, Jesus will return. The Bible lets us know He'll return as a thief in the night. You don't know when a thief is going to break in. You don't know when a thief is going to take place in your life. You don't know that. You don't know that. I was just seeing on the news here just recently. Nancy Gardner, we can't even find her. They can't find her. They've got a lot of different things going on, but it's like she just vanished. It's like she just disappeared. And I want you to know today, Jesus will come back just as a thief in the night. You will not know. You don't know when He's coming, but He will come back. And so it lets us know that clearly through the Word of God. He that shall come will come. Reveals many will doubt His coming. Many scoffers in the last day will question, oh, is there Jesus? Is Jesus real? Is He really coming back? Is He really did he really mean what He said and said what He really mean? All of this. We're in the last days now, of the last days, where people are starting to question about Jesus and start questioning about the Word, the Holy Word of God, the Scripture of God's Word. They're questioning that. That's not what He really meant. That's not what He really said. That's where we're at today, folks. We need to understand that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's doing everything, and if he can deceive the very elect, he will do so, and he will try, and understand that Jesus clearly said, I will be back. My second point today is, why has He not yet come? Why hasn't Jesus come yet? We may ask that question. Why has He not? I do want you to know today, that's a question that we all may answer, try to answer, is why hasn't He come back yet? Look at this happening, that's happening. Why is this and that? Listen, but I do know that Jesus Christ is a merciful God. The Bible says that His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. They are far past finding. You can't, unsearchable. How unsearchable are His ways? And I do know with lenience, Jesus Christ is one that will lean and He will trust the Heavenly Father when the Heavenly Father tells Him it's time to come home to rapture out His church. But until then, Jesus still extends grace and mercy. Hebrews 10 and 37, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. He that shall come will come, reveals many will doubt in his coming, many of the scoffers in the last day. 2 Peter 3 and 3, knowing this first, the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. The Bible reasons why Christ has not yet come. God's appointed hour has not arrived. Let me say that again. God's appointed hour has not arrived. There are still other things that God sees that needs to take place and be fulfilled until the coming of the Lord. God's appointed hour has not arrived. Matthew 24 and 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now we do know that there is one that does know, and that's God Almighty. He knows when He's going to tell His Son to split the eastern skies and when to come back. But until then, God knows exactly what you're going through, what I'm going through, what we're faced with, what we're facing in this world, and what we're dealing with right now. And I've always said it, and I will say it again. It's not a surprise to God in what's going on in this world. We may scratch our head and we'll say, oh my goodness, I can't believe that's going on, or I can't believe that's going on, or that's this and this and that and all that. But there's no surprise to God, because we know that everything that's happening in this world is leading up for the coming of the Lord. God has an appointed time, just as me and you have an appointed time. God knows every hair that's on your head. You may say, well, I'm bald. How does He know that? Well, you've got follicles. He knows how many follicles you've got in your head. He knows everything about you. And if my God knows everything about you, don't think for a moment that He's not planning for His return to send His Son, because He is planning for Him to come back. The church has not been completed yet. The church has not been completed yet. Acts 15 and 14. Simon has declared how God first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And with this the words of the prophet agree, just as it is written, after this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. Again, God is in plans. He's making the plans. He's making the arrangements. Here's the question I want to leave with you today. Are you making plans? Are you making plans for His return? Are you making plans for His return? I've said it and I will say it again, because the Bible's going to be fulfilled. There will be some that will not die a death. Some of you may think, and those that are up in age may think, well, I'm going to be buried 6 foot under. You might not. You may see the coming of the Lord. They may not be ever be any dirt placed on your grave. You may not even have time to even be cremated, because you may see the coming of the Lord. Because the Bible clearly lets us know that the dead in Christ will rise first, and those which remain will be called up in the heavens to the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. Therefore, we need to understand the Bible's got to fulfill itself. Everybody's not going to go to the grave. Dirt's not going to be placed on you. They will be some, and we might be that group. We might be that people that we will watch the graves burst forth, because the Bible says they've got to come forth if we're still living, and those which remain will be caught up. means you're not in the grave. You're just waiting for the graves to burst forth and then you're going to follow. Listen, that's coming, folks. That's going to be fulfilled. Yet God's long-suffering, not exhausted, but long-suffering. God has long-suffering. God does not want none to perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is lenient. He is still having patience. He is still patience to all that are around because He doesn't want anyone to perish but have everlasting life. The Bible lets us know that. Again, 2 Peter 3 and 8, God's Word says this, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. The Lord is not slack. I want you to see this today. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Has somebody ever made a promise to you and broke it? Yeah, there's plenty of times that people has promised me something and broke the promise. But guess what? God is not slack concerning His promise. As some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, verse 11, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Remember last week I talked about how that we are to practice godliness. We are to live out righteousness. Righteousness means a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that we have to do. We have to practice to pray. It just doesn't come automatically. You've got to get yourself in a mindset that you can pray. You've got to get your mind in a mindset that you want to meditate upon the Lord. You've got to get yourself in a mindset that you want to read God's Word. Why? Because everything that's around you can distract you from communicating with God. Because that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to be distracted. Well, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to be there. You've got to be there. You've got to come here. You've got to this. It's constantly distracting you. And by the time you sit down, you will close your eyes and go to sleep and the day's gone. Why? Because the enemy has distracted you. Distracted you to keep you from what? Communicating with God. Know that God has promised that He's going to take care of us, that He has promised that He will be back for us. And therefore, count it not slackness on God's part, because God is faithful at everything He does. Friends and neighbors may let you down. Family may let you down. God will never let you down because He's there with you and that He is going to take care of you. He lets us know that clearly. Third, the question is, when will He come? When will Jesus come? Hebrews 10 and 37, for yet a little while, He who is coming will come and will not tarry. What does tarry mean? Tarry means to wait. God is waiting on us. God is waiting on those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, folks, I want you to know when He returns, it's over. I have said and will say it again. Prayer ceases when Jesus returns. There's no praying in heaven. There's rejoicing in heaven. We will be magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be magnifying God Almighty, and we will be in the heavens praising our Lord. We won't be asking for anything through prayer. We won't be crying the tears, and we won't be in the pain and the suffering that we're dealing with down here on earth. Prayer is for now. Praying is for now. Why? Because we want to be strengthened while we're living in this world. We want to encourage each other while we're living in this world. We want to see our friends. We want to see our family saved. We don't want to see them lost. And yet we don't want to do anything to cause our family members to miss heaven for the world, because we want to go to heaven. The Bible says the word is used in a little while. In a little while. Listen, date settlers will always be wrong. We've had people in the past say, well, Jesus is coming back at this time and this time. Had billboards. Y'all remember this? About 5 or 10 years ago, they had billboards. Jesus is coming back on this date, and He'll be returning. And sell everything you got. Sell your cars. Sell your house. Sell everything. And there were people that took upon that and said, okay, let me do it. They sold their house. They sold their cars. And when they saw the billboard that Jesus is coming back on a certain date, they scratched their head and said, well, Jesus didn't return. And they said, oh my, I've sold my house, I've sold my car, I've sold everything, because somebody just lied and said Jesus was coming back, and He didn't come back. And yet we live in a world that's so naive that they get so wrapped up in everything that's going on. They think that Jesus, somebody said Jesus is coming back, get rid of everything. Listen. Nobody knows but God the Father when He's coming back. And when the Word of God tells us clearly, it's not so much for us to get concerned about when the Father says He's coming back. It's more concerning to us that we make things right with the Lord, that we get it right, that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we've asked Him to come into our heart and life. That's the main thing that we need to understand. We've got to make things right. Because Matthew 24 and 36 says, but of that day and hour no one knows, even the angels of heaven, but what? Jesus says, my Father only knows. My Father only knows. Listen, false prophets will be proven frauds, but Christ will come right on time. He's coming sooner than you think. Remember, that's the way it was in the days of Noah. When God told Noah to build an ark, there had not been any water in 100 years. And God told Noah, Noah, build an ark. People made fun of him, laughed at him. Noah, it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. What are you hearing? What are you listening to? It's not going to rain. And he kept building. He kept building. God told him how long that he wanted to build, how wide he wanted to build, how tall he wanted to build. Everything was mapped out, and he continued on building. But when that day came and the drops begin to fall, they begin to scream, let us in, Noah. Let us in, Noah. And the Bible says that Noah, as he tried to show a little mercy, tried to open up the door, but God had shut the door. He couldn't even open it. Folks, I want you to know, just because things look the way they look does not mean it's going to look like that forever. It doesn't look like that it's going to look like that forever. Things change. When God has promised us that He will be back, He's coming back. And we've got to be right and we've got to be ready. For He says, Matthew 24:44, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." In my closing today, question would be, are you lost? Are you backslidden? Are you hurting? Christ will come in a little while, but He wants us to make sure that we've got everything right. Is it well with your soul? Is everything okay with you? Is there something that you may need to do? Is there something that you may need to talk to the Lord about? Is there something that would keep you from heaven? Those are those questions that we've got to ask ourselves. What is the right thing for me to do? Is it for me to ignore the things of life? Is it something for me to ignore on something that I needed to address, that I need to take care of? Is there something that I'm needing to do? Something for us to think about. And if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, let today be the day of salvation if you harden not your heart. Accept Jesus. Why would you come to a church, and hear me today, why would you come to a church for years and years and never accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You say, well, Pastor, I did the right thing. I came to church. You know, I gave monies. You know, I help people. I do all these great things, and that's great. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you what the main thing is. The main thing is that you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and life, that you've made the profession of faith, and that you've said, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I am a sinner, and Lord, I want you to come into my heart and my life. Lord, I need you to change me. I want that salvation that you're so freely giving to everyone. I want that. And when you accept Jesus Christ in your heart and life, the Bible says if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, He arose on the third day, that He's seated with the right hand of the Father, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. It's just like that. Receiving Jesus Christ is not where we've got to go through all the rituals to receive salvation. It is for us to fully surrender to His Lordship and say, Lord Jesus, I want You in my life. I repent. I confess. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And verse 10 goes on and says, and if we say that we have no sin, the Bible says, not me, the Bible says that we are a liar and the truth is not in us. All have sinned. All have sinned. We all go by the grave. We all go by the cross. We all come before the Lord on a daily basis saying, Lord, I fully surrender to You, Lord. I need You in my heart and in my life. The Bible clearly lets us know that Jesus does not want us to perish, but He wants us to have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Stand with me across the building today. I thank God today that God has and is extending His mercy unto this world today. I know to some, as Christians, would say, Lord, please come quickly. Lord, wrap this thing up quick. I can't handle it, can't bear it much any longer. But then I look at it on the other side and I say, God, You're extending Your grace. You're extending Your mercy once again, because there's still a lot of people that don't know Jesus. We're now living in a world that does not know Jesus. But I am reminded that Jesus is still moving in the world. He is still moving in the world, because God truly loves us and He wants to give us the chance to receive Him, accept Him, and us what? Not only receiving and accepting, but to work for Him, to continue to share the good news, to continue to share living hope to people that need to know. Now is the time for the church to step up to the plate and share with one another, because we're living in a lost, dying world that needs Jesus. Because God's tarrying with us for a little while. But it won't be long. It won't be long. You say, Pastor, how long is long? I don't know. I just know God is giving us that chance. He's giving us that grace and mercy unto us. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I thank You, Lord.